Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that our Savior, Jesus, paid it all. Paid all the penalty for our sins so that we might have hope, so that we might have joy, so that we might have peace with you, Father, and eternal life promised. Lord, we praise you this morning for all that you are and all that you've done and all that you have in store for us. And we ask humbly, as you sit on the throne of heaven and earth, that you'd bless this time that we've gathered together, that we might reap a harvest of blessing as a result of the sacrifice of this time. We put our most heartfelt trust and faith in you, our God, the one who paid it all. For as always, it's in Christ's name that we come together. It's in his name that we sing praises. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
I invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read the end of that chapter, or most of the end of that chapter. Beginning in verse 10, Paul writes to the Philippians, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. A lot going on this week, hasn't it? I mean, there has been a lot going on. Things in the news, the things online, the situation with the election and the rantings on social media, on top of the personal stuff that most of us have. Physical ailments, relationship troubles, struggles of all kinds. We live in a fallen world, don't we? We need encouragement. If there's ever been a time that we need encouragement, it is now. We find that Paul, writing to the Philippians, shares that he's had an up and down trip. You know, there's been times when he's needed, there's been times when he had plenty, and there's been times, he says, when you've been able to send help. And there's been times, like here lately, he mentions right off the bat in verse 10 and 11, that you haven't been able to. And this isn't the main point or the main gist of this passage, but we shouldn't go past it without at least shedding some light on when he says, You indeed have had your concern for me. You have been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. And he seems to be okay with that. Paul shows grace. He says, I know that sometimes it's hard to get word. It's hard to get money. It's hard to get food. It's hard to come see me. You know, instead of saying, why didn't they at least make an attempt? He says, I understand. He shows grace, something that we can all learn because we never know what's going on the other side of a situation, of a relationship, of a conversation. Just show that grace. Hey, no sweat, it'll be okay. But he says, I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. Know what it is to have plenty and know what it is to have be in want. I've learned the secret of being content, he says, and that is in knowing that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It is not what other people do, it is my relationship with Christ that endures me. That's what he says. He goes on to say, but it was good for you to share with me in that. You get to help and I get to be helped, and that is what the gospel is all about. That's the grand paraphrase of, of the 10 or 11 verses that we've just read. One thing we need to take from what Paul has said, one thing we need to take at a time like this week when the world, once again, seems to be going crazy and there's so much out there to misunderstand, there's so much out there to be negative about. And this is personal. It's you, it's me, it's us collectively. But when you as a person, when you as a soul came to the altar and answered an invitation one night long ago or one morning not so long ago, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you gave your life to Him and received the forgiveness that only He can provide. And by the way, if you haven't, you need to do that today. But when you entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, His Father, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer, the Alpha, the Omega, the Source, and the Destination, God the Father, at that moment when you entered into that relationship with His Son, God the Father commissioned Himself. He commissioned Himself to protect and provide and take care of you because you are His. That is no small detail. That is no trivial matter. God Almighty commissioned Himself at the moment in which you came in a redeemed relationship with Him, said, okay, I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to provide for him. They are mine. That never changes. Come what may, and it never will. God provides for His own children. The challenge in this day and age is for you and me to be more like Paul describes himself in Philippians chapter 4 and to actually see his provision, recognize his protection when it's there, to acknowledge his care. It's been said that God is doing right now. God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, not in all our lives combined. God is doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of three of them. He's got things in the work that you and I will never know about this side of heaven, but He is there doing 10,000 things in you, for you, through you right now, and you might be aware of three of them. How is it that that can be? Well, Jesus' disciples gives us the perfect example. He spent all that time with them, and they were forever missing the whole point of the parable that He just told. And He had to explain it to them. They were forever missing the very important part of the healing or the miracle that He had just performed. They were missing it all. They missed the lessons, which, by the way, should give you and I some hope for ourselves in this day and age when we misunderstand or misapply or just miss all that God may be doing. The question I want us each to ask ourselves this morning and to take with us, what I want us to all to focus on for just a moment here, what I want us individually, not everybody else, you, is to ask yourself, what is God doing or showing me right now in the midst of what's going on? What is He doing in me? What is God showing me right now? And ask Him to help you see it. There is something. He cares that much about you. One of the things that I want us to take from Paul's story and from the Bible at great length is the fact that God provides oftentimes in ways that are different from what you and I expect. God often provides in ways that are different from what we expect. The Israelites left slavery and captivity in Egypt and made their way into the desert as a nomadic people where they would spend the next 40 years roaming and learning and being prepared for God's blessings. And God provided for them every single day, food and water. And they were given what we know as manna from heaven. And it had everything that anybody could ever need because God provided it. And even though God was providing for them in this way, they began to grumble and complain and say, I'm tired of manna. Can't we get some meat? You remember all the great vegetables we had back in Egypt? Maybe we should turn around and go back in Egypt. See, God was providing, but it was not in the way that they would prefer and not in the way that they would expect. This lesson should speak to us, okay? Listen, here's what we need to have enough faith to do this morning, all right? Nothing, a little challenge for all of us. I'm do that on your toes a few times a day. Not nothing personal. It's just the way it comes out, all right? Just the way that it came to me, and I don't write them. I just pass them along, all right? Amen? Listen to me very carefully, all right? You and I need to be able to ask God and trust God to provide for us
in whatever way He sees fit. Because Paul says, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be okay. I've learned to know that Jesus gives me strength no matter what my situation is. That's a tough frame of mind to get to. But he trusted that God would provide for him in whatever way God saw fit. We get a little dismayed when we think, well, God ought to change this, or God ought to do that. God ought to provide this. God ought to take that away rather than just trusting Him, okay? And what we need to learn to do is not grumble, like Paul had learned to not grumble, when God's supernatural, unexpected ways differ from what we might expect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Great verses, short verses. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just some, he says all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What all that means is this. Our perfect, our loving, our holy God, our gracious Father knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. It'll be all right. The second thing we see from what we're unpacking this morning is God provides in ways we wouldn't expect. And also we see that what God provides, as often as not, is more of Himself. Remember Paul said in what we read earlier from 2 Corinthians that he had the thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times that God would take this away, that God would change his circumstance, that God would make life a little easier for him. And God said to Paul in this very real situation, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My presence in your life, my grace on your life, my provision in your life is sufficient for you even with what you're going through. I am enough. God provides more of Himself. Our greatest need as a nation, and that's where our focus has been this week, is where this country is going and how big that handbasket could possibly be. Our greatest need as a nation is the same as your and my greatest need as individual. It's more of God. That's what we need. What we need is more of God. And this is something that the good news is He gladly makes readily available to every single one of us. Is more of Him. It's right there, ready for the taking. Remember Jesus was telling the disciples in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 9 through 11. He said, which of you, when your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? He says, or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, he says to the guys, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? God knows what He's doing. He provides. He offers more of Himself. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, God's Son, tells us that the pursuit of God's glory and kingdom should be our primary function, all right? Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So how do we get to that? How do we get to the point where we're seeking first and we're realizing that God's provision is just there? How do we get to Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart? How do we get there? We have to have the understanding of the Father and the understanding of the gospel that Paul finally arrived at that allowed him to get to where he was when he's writing the Philippians. One more time. Get your toes ready. All right? Personal, deep question. Think about this and be honest with yourself for just a minute. What is the deepest root of your personal joy? Is it what God gives you, or is it who God is? I got to tell you, we've all been through ups and downs. I don't have a monopoly on that situation. We've all had tough times. We've all been through struggles like Paul has explained about his life. I'll just tell you about my personal experience. There's been times in my life and I didn't understand why God was allowing this, that, or the other to continue. I didn't understand why God didn't supply what I so desperately felt like I needed immediately, if not sooner. But what I've learned through all those struggles, this is just me personally. I'm telling you, this is real, this is now, and I'm not figured it out yet. I'm still a work in progress, just like the rest of us. Every time what He supplied was more of Himself. A deeper understanding of who He is, a deeper, closer relationship with Him personally, more trust in Him, no matter what, that's what He's provided me.
And every single time, it's just me personally now, it's been better than what I was asking for to begin with. If you don't take much else today, take that with you. It is the best thing He can give you, just Himself. Because regardless of what else happens, if you understand and you have more of Him, then you'll be good no matter what. The world can do this, and you'll just be here. That's where Paul was. That's where we need to be. Fact of the matter is, God's ultimate provision has already been given to you and me, every single one of us. And that is His gospel. It's already been given to you. All right, we ask God for a lot of things, but the greatest thing that we could ever receive from Him, once again, is Himself, and that is His gospel, and it's already been given to us, okay? It's light years ahead of anything that we could ever ask for. Understand this, when that moment came when you received Christ, when that moment came when you were saved by the blood of the Lamb, when the moment came when your sins were forgiven, when that moment came that your name was written in the Lamb's book of life, when that moment came that you received the Holy Spirit as a seal on you, when you came to trust in Christ your Lord, at that moment you decisively secured for yourself every single ultimately good thing that there is from Him. It's already been secured. You needn't worry about what might be provided and what not. It's done from that moment on. It's just a matter of when you'll receive it and in what form. Paul understood the difference between tough times and easy times because he understood the gospel for what it was. See, the answer, my friends, is the gospel. Listen, very carefully. Listen, if Donald Trump wins the election and there is no gospel, it's in vain. If Hillary Clinton wins the election and there is no gospel, it's in vain. If we take every gun away from every person and there is no gospel, it's in vain. There will still be violence. If we put a Colt on the hip of every person and put three policemen on every corner, it's in vain if there is no gospel. The answer is not all these other things. It is the gospel. That's the answer. Now, one more time. What have we spent more time worrying about this week? All the other supposed answers are the one that we see and we agree and we know is the answer. We have an opportunity right here as a church to provide the answer. We can't do anything about what's going on in Dallas. We can pray for them and we should. Physically, we can't do anything about what's going on in Dallas. We can't do anything about what's going on in Washington. We should pray, boy, should we pray for them. Physically, you and I can provide the answer that matters above all else right here in this community, and that is the gospel, the answer. We will have in about 3 weeks people descend on this church that have not been here in a long time or never been here before, and we will have an opportunity as a group to participate in giving them the answer and seeing it happen in their lives. What have I spent more time thinking about, focusing on? Or let's rephrase that question. What if I spent as much time this week praying about, focusing on, thinking about, working on providing the gospel through VBS at this church as I did worrying about what's going on in Washington and Dallas? If that is the answer, y'all believe that's the answer? Let's make it happen. Let's do it the way it's supposed to be. I think God's going to do something great, and I can't wait to see what it is. A couple last things. It's easy to be aggravated. It's easy to have our hearts ache under the pressure of this life and feel very uncomfortable the way things are going in this country today. You know why that is? It's because you and I were not made for this world. We're not supposed to be comfortable. No, no, we're made for the next world. 20 scriptures I want to give you. 20 scriptures, this is how we'll close this today, to encourage us. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, collectively and individually, I want to give you 20 scriptures. A little different than anything we've ever done, but just soak it in. Just absorb it. Just let it pour all over you, the power behind God's Word. 20 scriptures to encourage you and me right now. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Amen. Psalm 56:3. David said, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Philippians chapter 4, a few verses before what we just read, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, all of them, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I don't give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid." 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Boy, if we can just make that happen. 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Psalm 94:19, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." Isaiah 43:1, "But now this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine." Be encouraged. Psalm 23:4, we already know this, "And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Joshua 1 and verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Matthew 6:34, right after, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Jesus said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Peter says, "Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, so that He will lift you up in His own good time. Leave all your worries on Him, because He cares for you." Be encouraged. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Mark 6:50, "Immediately He spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Psalm 118, 6 and 7, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, He is my helper." Psalm 34:4, "I prayed to the Lord and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears." Be encouraged. Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt you over with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." Mark 5:36, I love this one. It's concise. Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." 1 Peter 3:14, "But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats." Finally, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Puts a nice little bow on it, sums it up perfect. "Then He placed His right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. No matter what happens, God is greater. No matter what comes, God is bigger. No matter what we may fall into, God is able. He gives us the power to live courageously, boldly, fearlessly in this life. And His truth whispers assurance to us, the very deepest core of our heart and beliefs. All that's going on this week, you know what I'm talking about." See, what happens is, a couple of news stories out of 300, 400, 500 million possible news stories, a couple of them get hand-picked and put out there for everybody to see. And then social media, Twitter and Facebook and all these other things start firing off and people commenting, and it escalates and gets people more angry and more angry, and it gets them more angry until finally someone takes it to the nth conclusion like those gentlemen did in Dallas. Does something horrible. The whole thing is an orchestrated effort by your and my enemy to distract us, to dishearten us, to dismay us, and to sap the joy out of us. That's all it is. What you and I have to do is trust God enough, understand Him enough, believe in the gospel enough to rise above it and be Jesus to this world that needs it so much. Speak like Jesus did. Offer healing like Jesus did instead of pain. Lead the way like Jesus did. That's what we need to do. Why? Not because somebody will say, well, you're not a good enough Christian if you don't act a certain way. Not because somebody will say, well, that's a sin not to have enough faith. No, we need to just be Jesus in these times and in these situations because that is exactly what this world needs more than ever right now. That is exactly what it's all about. Just be like Jesus. Pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the power and the promise, as always, of Your Word. And Lord, the fact that as crazy as things seem to be going, You can be trusted. As fearful as sometimes we can be, You are still faithful. And as scary as life can get, or as difficult as days can seem, the gospel still wins out every single time it's tried. So Lord, we want to praise You. And we ask humbly in Jesus' name, as You sit on the throne of heaven and earth, that You would help us to seek what is right, and that is You. To show what is best, and that is You. And to trust what can only be trusted, and that is You. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, any man, woman, or child in our midst who has not personally trusted in You, and they don't know what it means to have the assurance that You're going to watch over them no matter what, to be Yours, to be forgiven, to have the hope of eternal life. I pray that You would move upon them to come and receive what only Jesus has done and can do for them, and that is eternal life. Your will be done in every single heart here this morning as it is in heaven. We love You, Lord, and we pray all these things as always in the name of our Savior, Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just a time of invitation. Whatever God is moving on your heart to do, I pray that you will do just that. I promise you that I'm not texting or making a phone call or anything like that, but I neglected to put this anywhere except on my phone, and this is my closing thought for the day that I want you to take with you. A.W. Tozer wrote, "While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes, there's a God who has not surrendered His authority. Never has, never will." Let's be assured of that. Amen?